97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Yeah, great to have you in here with us this weekend. And things are heating up, man. It is summertime. And
you've already been camping,
right?
Ain't that the truth? Do you have air conditioning in that camper of yours?
Well, of course I do, Bo Matthews.
does it keep up?
Tent camp.
Yeah, right, but does it keep up?
It does. Now, I mean, if you walk into it, it's got a single roof mount air. It's 30 feet long. It's got a single roof mount air conditioner, and it's piped into the other parts of the camper through vents. But if you walk in and it's been off and it's 95 degrees in there, it takes a while to cool off. You want to kind of keep it on all day long.
So the maiden voyage of 2023 camping went well for you last weekend?
I'll tell you, we're a little later in the show, we're going to talk to somebody who's talking about the Lake of the Ozarks and 100 things you can do there before you die. And fascinating book. And I've been to the Lake of the Ozarks State Park down there for Memorial Day before. And I tell you what, if you don't have a big boat, it's not always a great place to be on Memorial Day weekend. So we decided that all we have right now currently is a jet ski. So we chose to go east, and we went to Rend Lake and stayed at the campground over there, one of the state park campgrounds. And we had a fantastic weekend. It was not overly crowded. There are good-sized boats out there, but you don't feel like you're going to get swamped even on a jet ski. And we had a great weekend. Yeah.
Okay, so it's in your trailer. So you have your truck pulling your trailer, bumper hitch or fifth wheel?
A bumper hitch.
Okay, and did you put the trailer of the Wave Runner or whatever jet ski on the back of that?
We took two vehicles. We hauled the jet ski separately. Actually, on the way back, it's funny you mentioned that because we were talking about that on the show not all that long ago. Is it legal to tow something if you have a truck and a trailer and then a third thing behind that,
which
it
is.
We determined that it is, although there are length limitations on how long the whole rig can be depending on the state that you're in. I still don't think I wouldn't be comfortable doing it, but on the way back I saw a truck with a trailer with a 4x4 on a trailer hooked onto that pole trailer as I was coming back. And the guy seemed to be handling it just fine. I don't know if that I'd be comfortable doing that, but
be rough in windy weather. But you had a good time though, relaxing by the campfire, good food.
Beautiful weather last weekend. You just couldn't have asked for more. Just cool enough in the evenings that a nice fire in the fire pit was very comfortable, and the bugs weren't bad. I mean, it was just it was gorgeous. Man, yeah, we had a great
good time. For you. By the way, since this is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, I do want to share that it does truly work. It's not cheap, but to avert from mosquitoes, to avoid mosquitoes, Victoria's Secret's Bombshell Perfume is something I learned about from the Duck Dynasty boys, the Robertson family, and it was like $80 for the bottle, but it does really work. Now, and there's another thing that a buddy of mine shared with me over the weekend. There's I forget what it's called. It's like a battery operated cell something. I wish I had the name at the top of my head, but it like keeps mosquitoes away like for 15 or 20 feet. Then I saw one at Costco. It was like $50, but hey, whatever keeps the mosquitoes away, you got to do it. But yeah. Bombshell's the perfume if you haven't tried that.
From Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
Do you know Victoria's Secret?
She was made up by a dude.
He's an old dude in Ohio, according to the song that's popular right now that my daughter plays all the time.
I didn't know that part.
I don't know.
Bo, is it Thermacell?
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Thermacell. And also they say that Avon's Skin So Soft also works.
Huh. Oh, okay. If it's cheaper than Victoria's Secret, I'll try it.
But I went to Minnesota one time and we had something with supposed to have a deep woods off with deed in it or something, and the mosquitoes feasted on that stuff.
Yes.
So I can just tell
candy.
You it can always work.
Yeah. Those things are big as grapes too. Yeah. So to try and manly it up for me, I'll say to my wife, honey, get me the stink party. And see, it helps, doesn't it? yeah. This is also a Second Amendment show, so we do need to talk about this. Tip of the hat to the federal judge in Texas who has temporarily blocked President Biden's new regulations on pistols with stabilizing braces. This is a response to a lawsuit from gun rights activists. I think the pistol brace thing is, it's just part of the Second Amendment world. I don't own one. I don't have one, but I do know people that have them and they love them. Have you ever shot a pistol with a brace?
I have.
And what do you think?
Well, it's silly to assume that it's more deadly than any other gun you would carry, which is why the ATF getting involved in this never made any sense from the beginning.
Right.
Criminals don't follow the law. If the concern is it looks like a rifle, it's a short-barreled rifle, but it's got a brace on it that could be put up to the shoulder, that somehow it's going to be easier to conceal and you could walk in somewhere and commit crimes with it. The problem is law-abiding gun owners are not the ones causing the problem, but
exactly,
they are going to be the ones who are affected. The people who are law-abiding gun owners who legally bought what up until the 31st of May was an accessory for your firearm are now potentially felons. That's the silly part of this, is that if you own one of these now, other than this stay, I mean, they put a temporary stay on it in the federal courts. Hopefully
right,
it gets thrown out, because you've turned tens of thousands of legal gun owners into potential felons with a stroke of the pen by the ATF. And that is wrong. Congress should have to make those laws and change them, not just reinterpret them by a government agency.
It is stabilizing your firearm. Why wouldn't you want it to be stabilized if you're a law-abiding gun owner?
Thank you.
It's a stabilizer. It's like saying that laser dot scopes are illegal now. Oh, because they make it more accurate? Are you kidding me? You know, you wait. Hey, we thought it was crazy. We're seeing a lot of stuff that people are saying, well, that's crazy. Well, they're still pushing hard against it. And this is about ridiculous. And I did come up with an idea that if they do get banned, I'd love to have a weed eater brace just on my arm. Then I could weed eat my yard with just one arm.
Well, they originally designed for people who had problems like that, right? Who
physical,
maybe were
yep,
missing an arm or something and had a hard time controlling it, and they could put the brace around their forearm and handle it a little more carefully. And that they've now decided might help the criminal element, and therefore they're making it illegal for legal gun owners. It's silly season in America. Just like the fact that silencers are illegal.
Suppressors. Mark.
Suppressors. I'm sorry. Silencers, whatever.
Well, they're not illegal.
And they don't, well, they're not illegal, but they're hard to get. They're highly regulated, as if that's going
yes,
to increase crime, because it doesn't make it like the movies silent. It's just
right,
silly.
There again, yeah, it also adds to accuracy. You can be more accurate because there's less of a recoil. There's less
right,
of the sound, the bang. It's all just things. It's just technology, people. This is like the new cars people buy that vibrate if you sway in your road. It's just, you're getting me fired up, Mark.
I'm with you, Bo Matthews. You know that. Hey, I tell you what, coming up here on the show today, we got a good one for you. If you have ever been to the Lake of the Ozarks, I will guarantee you, there are things down there you didn't even know existed. And a local entrepreneur and author, Valerie Battle Kenzel, has written a book about it. 100 things you need to do at the Lake of the Ozarks
before you die.
That's it, with Bo Matthews. has added a little drama to this. But we'll talk to Valerie when we come back.
Yeah!
It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. It's Bo Matthews. There's Mark Cox. Carl Middleman is our executive producer, also part of the show, really. He's kind of a third of a co-host. And, you know, we love to get outdoors. This show morphed from just Second Amendment Radio, guns, 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 to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. And we like to investigate and figure out and learn things you can do in the outdoors. Put the screen down. And we have the author of 100 Things to Do at the Lake of the Ozarks Before You Die, Valerie Battle Kenzel. She is a University of Missouri School of Journalism graduate, spent the last 40 years in different writing related positions, and we welcome her to the show. How are you, Valerie?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us on the Second Amendment and Radio and Great Outdoors show to talk about this. How long did it take you to put together the 100 things to do with the Lake of the Ozarks before you die?
Actually, not that long. We have been going to a family place for 41, 42 years, and we have people come from all parts of the country, so we always try to do something different. Try new restaurants, try new activities and events. And so I had a pretty sizable been there, done that list to begin with. So when I was asked to do this book, I'm like, yep, I can do that. And ended up having to cross off a few things. I had more than 100.
Oh, I bet you did. So just as a side note here, if you do an audio book version of this for a very reasonable price, Bo Matthews will say, "Before you die." Just like that.
He's got that. He does that well, yes.
I'm sure that's how you envisioned it when you wrote the title, right?
No, but I like the twist. Yeah, it's very nice.
You know, I'm a Missouri transplant. I moved here in about 93, and I have enjoyed the Lake of the Ozarks many, many times over the years. But you go down there, I guess, as a visitor, if you don't have a home down there, and you probably kind of do the same things over and over again, like maybe go to the dam and the little shops down there and the occasional restaurant or two. So you said you ended up with more than 100, probably because you've spent so much time down there, right?
Yes, that's correct. And we have different people, like I said, from all parts of the country, different ages and stages. So we try to find things that everybody can enjoy to certain extents. So there's more than just fishing and party boats and large pool parties. There's it's beautiful outdoors. Haha Tonka, Lake of the Ozarks State Park is the largest state park in Missouri. And I like to get out on a float or in a kayak and just kind of paddle around in a quiet cove. I'm not that party girl.
You're not the party cove girl?
No, sir.
Is that on there, by the way? Is that on the list?
No, sir.
Yeah, I was introduced to the Party Cove many years ago, and then I saw a documentary on it, kind of a spoof documentary. But we rented a houseboat one time down at Lake of the Ozarks, and it was, I don't know if it was a bachelor party, but it felt like it. And if you're not the guy that has rented the boat or the person that rented the boat, man, it sometimes feels like you are just stuck. But I did want to bring up, because everybody knows the Party Cove. That's what it is. But this book, not mentioning that, you did mention at the front that you picked out some restaurants and stuff. And isn't there a restaurant famous down there for deep fried lobster?
That one I'm not familiar with, to be honest with you. I know there's a lot of great seafood restaurants like J.B. Hook's and Michael's and Bentley's, but I'm not familiar with the fried lobster. Maybe you're telling me something new I can include in the second edition.
101 things to do at the Lake of the Ozarks before you die. So, you know, a lot of people, I grew up in Minnesota. I've been in St. Louis since 88, but I grew up in Minnesota, and we used to go, hey, we're going up north. That's what we used to say. And I love the fact that people in Kansas City, you know, and St. Louis, the big metropolitan areas, you know, they do family vacations. They go down there every weekend or every other weekend during the summer because there is so much to do. Did the outlet mall make your list?
No, it didn't actually, because it is in transition, is my understanding. There's only about 5 or 6 stores left out of what used to be over 100. And the management apparently is going in a different direction. And I'm not sure. I haven't been able to ascertain exactly what that direction is. But yes, that was a big destination for a lot of people who would go down there.
Yeah, for a long time, it really was. I know mm-hmm. that. And I know there are big additions down there, like the Margaritaville that they've opened up. And, I mean, I haven't had a chance to go there yet, but it looks pretty amazing. So, Valerie, if you without giving away too much from the book, do you have maybe a top 4 or 5 things that you recommend in there? Do you have them ranked like that?
I don't have them ranked in the book. They're not in any particular order. They're by five different categories, according to shopping or outdoor activities or food and beverage. Personally, my favorite is a place called Dog Days. And we have been going there since 1993 when it opened. It was a very small shack little restaurant. It's close to the Grand Glaze Bridge. And when we first started going, there was actually a black Labrador retriever that rode on a Sea-Doo, and that was the dog of Dog Days. So since that time, it has just expanded and grown. It has two swimming pools now. It has all kinds of live entertainment during the warm weather months. And it's just a really fun, happy vibe type place to go. I personally like to, if I can snag a seat on the deck overlooking the lake channel and watch the traffic go by on the bridge and then watch the boats come by and watch the people. It's a great place to people watch.
That's got to be one of the busiest spots on the lake too, almost, because that's where you get to that big long no wake zone if you're going over by the state park, and it's an easy to get to location even if you're going there by car, right?
Right. Yes. And my favorite adult beverage is the lake water, which I first had at Dog Days and have had and sampled many times since. And so if I can snag a chair and grab an adult beverage, I am a happy girl.
It's called lake water? Really? I heard you're not supposed to drink the water, kind of like Mexico.
Well, a little bit different twist, and it looks a lot prettier.
Okay, let's hope so. Valerie, tell us about things that, for people that have already read the book, 100 Things to Do at the Lake of the Ozarks Before You Die, what were some of the shockers that people that have reviewed the book said, wow, I didn't even know about that?
The total number of gallons of water estimated to be in the lake. Any idea? And don't peek. Don't look at the front.
A billion.
600 billion? Billion, yes.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah.
And how much
That's
of that is clean?
Actually, the contamination is very low based on the volume of water in the lake, and it is checked regularly near the public beach areas all during the warm weather months. So my family and I, we don't have any qualms about swimming in there. We get in it. We do skiing and boarding and tubing and all that kind of stuff. And it's fun to find a cove. If you can just find a cove and kick back with some floats or some noodles and on a beautiful day, it's just fabulous.
That was always my favorite. Unless you're going on Memorial Day weekend, then you might have a little more of a challenge if you're in anything less than a 30-footer out there, right?
Yes, I was just down there last weekend, and yes, it was, I think the weather, the fact that we had a cold, rainy early spring, I don't know, but it was absolutely packed, and everybody was happy and jovial. I do know that our favorite swimming cove was full. We didn't even try to go in there, so
I have a good friend who's probably been going down there for as long as you have, and he owns a house down there at about the 2.5 mile marker, and I've been down there a number of times. And his observation is that the lake has changed, and the people going to the lake have changed a little bit. And one of his observations is that a lot of the big boats that are out there, people hire captains these days to run them for them, and that there are more rental boats than he's ever seen in his life. And a lot of people in the rental boats aren't really sure what they're doing.
Yes, I would say that's true. I sometimes wonder why people who are given rental boats don't get a quick safety. It's just common sense, you know, and we have seen a boat of inebriated people pulled over, and the Water Patrol does look for that. If you're driving in an unsafe manner, they will pull you over. If you are inebriated, they will escort you to the state park, and that walk of shame is not always fun if you've been partying all afternoon.
Yeah, I'll bet not.
I remember the houseboat that we rented for a Party Cove weekend. I was shocked because nobody really knew what the heck we were doing, and I wasn't in charge, so thank goodness for that. You mentioned people watching. It's a great place to people watch, but you know, one of the other pastimes that may or may not have made your list is the house watching, you know, making your way around different parts of Lake of the Ozarks, the different beautiful mansions and homes and monsters. You know, it's just, it's incredible what people have gotten done and built down there. That's got to be a great pastime for so many people.
Absolutely. And I did mention it in the book because there has been for a number of years a debate about on a lake house, what is the front, what is the back? Because some houses are very compact and small looking from the street, from the driveway. But if you go around back, they may be 3-4 levels. They may have tiered pools. And it is just, if you have access to a boat and just can go look and just house observe, it's amazing. And, you know, for a lot of people, these are second homes. And I wonder, wow. Excuse me, what's your first home like?
Yeah. As someone who also has a journalism degree, you look at that and you think, well, they didn't go to journalism school probably, right?
100%. Hey. Yeah. Yes.
But you both get to go.
Yeah.
Do you don't happen to have a list of like famous people or famous homes down there, do you?
I do not. I actually have never seen anything like that. I have never known anybody, if they knew, that was willing to share that information. So I don't know. Some of these houses, you think, okay, that's got to be somebody that is professional that draws a huge salary. And there are some
journalism
that look
graduate.
Like family compounds. Too. Yeah. So.
And they're probably all in the name of LLCs, so you'll never know who owns them.
Exactly.
So they can maintain their privacy. We're talking to Valerie Battle Kenzel, who's the author of 100 Things to Do at the Lake of the Ozarks Before You Die. A great read, a great read before you head down there this summer, because I'm certain as many times as I've been there, and I did have a boat there for a couple of years ago, I know there are going to be things in there I've just never encountered, because mostly I would go to directly to the dock where my boat was, and if I ate at a restaurant, it was probably just up the hill. And that lake, it goes for miles. Doesn't it have more shoreline than any lake in the United States? Is that right?
Yes. And so the main channel goes 92 miles. And so it's not just, a lot of people think it's just Lake of the Ozarks is Osage Beach and the Camdenton area. It's not. It goes all the way over to Truman Dam and to Warsaw, Missouri. So it's 92 miles, and there's a lot to it.
Yes, no doubt about it.
All right. Well, I just want to point out there that there are several places. I just did a Google search on who does deep fried lobster, and if it sounds delicious, it is. It doesn't taste much like lobster. Tucker's. I wanted to say the red herring possibly, but I don't see that on this list.
The blue heron used to have it. You're
blue
right.
Heron.
Is that still there? Do you know, Valerie?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is no longer there. Yeah, it was there for many years, and there is a place called Tucker Shuckers. They specialize in oysters. Maybe they have fried lobster. I don't know. That's more on the strip. The Bagnell Dam.
One review says highly recommended the Cajun fried lobster. Okay, load it up.
There you go. That's good. Well,
okay, thank you.
Add that to the book. Valerie, where can people get the book? Is it on Amazon?
It is. It's also available through books at ReedyPress.com. Reedy Press is a local South City publisher that does a lot of local interest books. This is one of a series of 100 Things bucket list books all over the country. And some of the local retailers have them as well. Schnucks carries a lot of Reedy Press books.
Excellent. Valerie Battle Kenzel, we appreciate your time today. 100 Things to Do at the Lake of the Ozarks
Before You Die.
All right, there it is. There it is. I was waiting. Bo took the cue perfectly. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good to get her on here. Well done, Bo Matthews. Well done. Still to come on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors Before You Die, we're going to talk to a guy who is a trout farmer. I don't know that I've ever spoken to somebody who is a trout farmer, and you're going to be able to see what he does in person at an event that's coming up. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews along with Mark Cox and Carl Middleman. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory is not just a gun store. They're a gun concierge. And if you've never been, I'd encourage you to go into their store, Indepair on Manchester Road, to meet Jesse and Brad. If you're looking for something specific, an accessory, a certain firearm, they can take care of all your needs. Check them out online at RazorbackArmory.com and just tell Siri, hey, take me to Razorback Armory, and it'll show up in your maps. This segment, we are going to be talking about fish, and as part of the Two Rivers Family Fishing Fair on Saturday, June 10th, we have Dave Emerson, Big Fish Emerson. He's a trout farmer and the vice president of Crystal Lakes Fisheries Family Trout Farm, Douglas County. And it's the number one ranked county for aquaculture production in the state of Missouri. Welcome to the program, Mr. Emerson. How are you?
Howdy, howdy. Good morning. Doing great.
Good to have you on here. Yeah, absolutely. How long have you been involved in the trout industry, the trout farm industry?
I was born in 1953, and the first telephone was 6 miles up the dirt road from the trout farm.
Wow.
Dad bought the place in 1950, and they got to the phone and called all the neighbor ladies and the friends, and I was born in the neighbor's house.
So, well, so you're in literally your entire life.
Yeah, yeah. The spring, the whole thing goes around the spring. After World War II, Dad stayed in the Philippines for a little while and fly fished over there. So he came back into the States and looked on the West Coast. We were a Kansas City family, and a mail carrier said, hey, there's a big old fish farm down there on the ghost town of Larissa. Larissa had the post office was only with horse and wagon in the ghost town.
Wow.
So there's nothing left of the ghost town. And my daughter's name is Larissa. But it still shows up on the map when you're in Douglas County. We're about 35 miles from the Arkansas line, right? Kind of east and west, middle of the state. But the spring flows 10 million gallons of water a day, 7,000 gallons of water a minute. And there's room to have a trout hatchery there. And so Dad bought it, went to the courthouse, and then we grew up here, and my brother and I, we both came back in the late 70s, and he stayed in the reserves, lieutenant colonel. He's all business, does it, everything, works really hard, and we've worked side by side for, 40-some years now.
Wow. Well, that's what a great story. And, you know, I think for most of us, like when I've gone to Branson, for example, I went to visit the hatchery down there that sits near the dam.
Shepherd Hills, you bet.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to me, but I don't know that I've ever been to a family trout farm. Give people an idea of what all goes into raising these trout. You raise them from hatchlings, I imagine?
We have our own brood stock. We actually have our own strain. We've been DNA'd so that they can tell if it's our fish that are wintering. Because we can go up to 800 to 1,000 miles one way. We've got 10 wheaters. We can haul 4,000 pounds of trout. We actually took trout to 47 state parks in the state of Illinois this year. And some of them get 100 pounds. Some of them get 500 pounds. Some of them get 3,000 or 4,000 fish. And it just depends on whatever they need. Now, these kids' trout fishing ponds that we do, and you'll see those at the boat shows and so on and so forth, and there's different people that do them. And I've got a little 3,000-gallon circular pool. I can fish about 20, 25 kids at a time. 15 works real well. And I've been doing these, followed along with my dad. I went to the World's Fair in 1964 in New York City. I was 11 years old. And they had three different trout fishing places there. So, yeah, rode to New York in a 1956 International truck. And it was an interesting experience. So, but doing these trout ponds, and this was like 32 years or something like that for the fishing fair that we've been up there, and these kids have a good time. We'll probably fish 800 to 1,100 children on Saturday, and I'll bring up about 600-700 trout, and they've actually clean them for them and cook them for them up there. They've got a cleaning station. There's so many points of interest. But I get, and we have to ice the water because the water needs to be in the 50s. So we like to ice it down to 50, 52, 55. And it takes about 2,000 pounds of ice. We put that in, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then we put the trout in on opening day, which will be Saturday the 10th.
Yeah. See, that's what I recommend to my people that own pools, my friends that own pools. Go up to, the gas station and get blocks of ice and put it in your pool, even if it's a redneck above ground pool that you bought at the farm store. That's what I do. But back to the Crystal Lake Fisheries Family Trout Farm, is it open to the public or is it just for doing shows and stuff like that?
We're not open to the public. I'll do kindergarten tours, agriculture tours. A lot of times
Wonderful.
We'll have Farm Bureau comes out and they'll come out and do a visit with us. We'll have ag teachers, FFA tours. Sometimes it'll be a project. My son did an FFA project in aquaculture. We just do the rainbow trout. Now, there's other species of aquaculture things that you can do. But the spring's 59 degrees, and that's ideal for raising rainbow trout. And so we just specialize in we have our own brood stock. We take our eggs, and we actually have a lighthouse where we give 18 hours of daylight so we can take eggs twice a year. So we do a fall spawn around November and December. And then we do 6 months later a spring spawn, and that lets us bring the trout on. Popular sizes, 3 to the pound, half pound trout, 8 to 10 inches will be about a half a pound, and then in 3/4 of a pound to a pound and a quarter. We'll also raise up some 4, 5, 6, 7 pounders, sometimes into special aquariums and outdoor, like these stores. And they'll have the big aquarium, and they want some trout.
Yeah.
So we can specialize, and we can take them. We can go all the way down to San Antonio and put them into the store. Just take the pickup and put 10 great big beautiful 2 to 5 pound trout in it, and with a little bit of mileage and a skilled driver, you just show up with the fish.
Wow!
And put them in there.
Yeah.
So,
but
basically a sport fish. Now I also have a place called Mountain Springs Trout Park between Branson and Springfield, and there people just pay by the pound. It's the old fashioned. I've had it 40 years. My buddy from first day of first grade and I own it together, and we've got a manager. We sold him part of it. I said, if you're going to live on this and let people fish, and you're going to live here, you just need to own part of it. And we just had a busy, busy weekend. But there, we'll actually clean the fish, and it's just simple. Just with a little 2-acre spring fed fishing pool, and you catch the trout, pay by the pound. We clean them for you. If you want them to get filleted and take the pin bones out, we can do that. And then you take them home and eat them. And everybody goes, oh, we'll have fly fishing clubs that'll come down. Husband and wife teams will come down, and we'll let them do some catch and release. You just charge them by the hour. And then they go out and they fish in the streams, and they go, oh, I've got a new fly rod. Oh, I tied this fly myself. And you have a good time with it.
Oh, I bet you
and
do.
I think we kind of get that kick. If you're out in the out-of-doors and you're fishing, there's going to be moments that you kind of catch yourself going, I like this. I needed this. This is good for me.
What's the name of the farm again where people can go fish there, Dave?
Mountain Springs Trout Park, Highlandville, Missouri.
Okay.
It's about 15 minutes south of Springfield and about 25 minutes north of Silver Dollar City.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in that who might not have heard about it. We're talking to Dave, and one reason he brought up there a minute ago, the Family Fishing Fair that's coming up next Saturday, June 10th, at the Two Rivers Family Fishing Fair that's going to be over at Pere Marquette State Park near Grafton there on the River Road. It's going to be going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you'll be able to see the pond that he's talking about bringing up here, the pool, and the kids will be able to fish in there and even eat what they catch, which I think is just fantastic. Dave, here's my question as somebody who's certainly caught trout over the years. I've even gone up to Glacier National Park and done a little bit of fly fishing up there. How well do your trout adapt to natural environments? I mean, if they're farm raised, can they just be dumped in a river and they'll naturally know what to do to find food and everything?
Water temperature is
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews along with Mark Cox and Carl Middleman, and this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory is not just a gun store. They're a gun concierge, and if you've never been, I'd encourage you to go into their store in De Pere on Manchester Road to meet Jesse and Brad. If you're looking for something specific, an accessory, a certain firearm, they can take care of all your needs. Check them out online at RazorbackArmory.com and just tell Siri, hey, take me to Razorback Armory, and it'll show up in your maps. This segment, we are going to be talking about fish, and as part of the Two Rivers Family Fishing Fair on Saturday, June 10th, we have Dave Emerson, Big Fish Emerson. He's a trout farmer and the vice president of Crystal Lakes Fisheries Family Trout Farm, Douglas County, and it's the number one ranked county for aquaculture production in the state of Missouri. Welcome to the program, Mr. Emerson. How are you?
Howdy, howdy. Good morning. Doing great.
Good to have you on here. Yeah, absolutely. How long have you been involved in the trout industry, the trout farm industry?
I was born in 1953, and the first telephone was 6 miles up the dirt road from the trout farm.
Wow.
Dad bought the place in 1950, and they got to the phone and called all the neighbor ladies and the friends, and I was born in the neighbor's house.
So. Well, so you're in literally your entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
The spring, the whole thing goes around the spring. After World War II, Dad stayed in the Philippines for a little while and fly fished over there. So he came back into the States and looked on the West Coast. We were a Kansas City family, and a mail carrier said, hey, there's a big old fish farm down there on the ghost town of Larissa. Larissa had the post office was only with horse and wagon in the ghost town.
Wow.
So there's nothing left of the ghost town. And my daughter's name is Larissa. But it still shows up on the map when you're in Douglas County. We're about 35 miles from the Arkansas line, right kind of east and west, middle of the state. But the spring flows 10 million gallons of water a day, 7,000 gallons of water a minute. And there's room to have a trout hatchery there. And so Dad bought it, went to the courthouse, and then we grew up here, and my brother and I, we both came back in the late 70s, and he stayed in the reserves, lieutenant colonel. He's all business, does it, everything, works really hard, and we've worked side by side for, 40-some years now.
Wow. Well, that's what a great story. And, you know, I think for most of us, like when I've gone to Branson, for example, I went to visit the hatchery down there that sits near the dam.
Shepherd of the Hills, you bet.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to me, but I don't know that I've ever been to a family trout farm. Give people an idea of what all goes into raising these trout. You raise them from hatchlings, I imagine?
We have our own brood stock. We actually have our own strain. We've been DNA'd so that they can tell if it's our fish that are wintering. Because we can go up to 800 to 1,000 miles one way. We've got 10 wheaters. We can haul 4,000 pounds of trout. We actually took trout to 47 state parks in the state of Illinois this year. And some of them get 100 pounds. Some of them get 500 pounds. Some of them get 3,000 or 4,000 fish. And it just depends on whatever they need. Now, these kids' trout fishing ponds that we do, and you'll see those at the boat shows and so on and so forth, and there's different people that do them. And I've got a little 3,000-gallon circular pool. I can fish about 20, 25 kids at a time. 15 works real well. And I've been doing these, followed along with my dad. I went to the World's Fair in 1964 in New York City. I was 11 years old. And they had three different trout fishing places there. So, yeah, rode to New York in a 1956 International truck. And it was an interesting experience. So, but doing these trout ponds, this was like 32 years or something like that for the fishing fair that we've been up there. And these kids have a good time. We'll probably fish 800 to 1,100 children on Saturday. And I'll bring up about 600-700 trout. And they actually clean them for them and cook them for them up there. They've got a cleaning station. There's so many points of interest. But I get, and we have to ice the water because the water needs to be in the 50s. So we like to ice it down to 50, 52, 55. And it takes about 2,000 pounds of ice. We put that in about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then we put the trout in on opening day, which will be Saturday the 10th.
Yeah. See, that's what I recommend to my people that own pools, my friends that own pools. Go up to, the gas station and get blocks of ice and put it in your pool, even if it's a redneck above ground pool that you bought at the farm store. That's what I do. Back to the Crystal Lake Fisheries Family Trout Farm. Is it open to the public, or is it just for doing shows and stuff like that?
We're not open to the public. I'll do kindergarten tours, agriculture tours. A lot of times
Wonderful.
We'll have Farm Bureau comes out and they'll come out and do a visit with us. We'll have ag teachers, FFA tours. Sometimes it'll be a project. My son did an FFA project in aquaculture. We just do the rainbow trout. Now, there's other species of aquaculture things that you can do. But the spring's 59 degrees, and that's ideal for raising rainbow trout. And so we just specialize in we have our own brood stock. We take our eggs, and we actually have a lighthouse where we give 18 hours of daylight, so we can take eggs twice a year. So we do a fall spawn around November and December, and then we do 6 months later a spring spawn, and that lets us bring the trout on. Popular sizes, 3 to the pound, half-pound trout, 8 to 10 inches will be about a half a pound, and then in 3/4 of a pound to a pound and a quarter. We'll also raise up some 4, 5, 6, 7 pounders, sometimes into special aquariums and outdoor, like these stores, and they'll have the big aquarium and they want some trout.
Yeah.
So we can specialize and we can take them. We can go all the way down to San Antonio and put them into the store. Just take the pickup and put 10 great big beautiful 2 to 5 pound trout in it, and with a little bit of mileage and a skilled driver, you show up with fish.
Wow.
And put them in there.
Yeah.
So basically a sport fish. Now, I also have a place called Mountain Springs Trout Park between Branson and Springfield, and there people just pay by the pound. It's the old fashioned. I've had it 40 years. My buddy from first day of first grade and I own it together, and we've got a manager. We sold him part of it. I said, if you're going to live on this and let people fish, and you're going to live here, you just need to own part of it. And we just had a busy, busy weekend. But there we'll actually clean the fish, and it's just simple. Just with a little 2-acre spring fed fishing pool, and you catch the trout, pay by the pound. We clean them for you. If you want them to get filleted and take the pin bones out, we can do that. And then you take them home and eat them. And everybody goes, oh, this, we'll have fly fishing clubs that'll come down. Husband and wife teams will come down, and we'll let them do some catch and release. You just charge them by the hour. And then they go out and they fish in the streams, and they go, oh, I've got a new fly rod. Oh, I tied this fly myself. And you have a good time with it.
Oh, I bet you
and
do.
I think we kind of get that kick. If you're out in the outdoors and you're fishing, there's going to be moments that you kind of catch yourself going, I like this. I needed this. This is good for me.
What's the name of the farm again where people can go fish there, Dave?
Mountain Springs Trout Park, Highlandville, Missouri.
Okay.
It's about 15 minutes south of Springfield and about 25 minutes north of Silver Dollar City.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in that who might not have heard about it. We're talking to Dave, and one reason he brought up there a minute ago, the Family Fishing Fair that's coming up next Saturday, June 10th, at the Two Rivers Family Fishing Fair that's going to be over at Pere Marquette State Park near Grafton there on the River Road. It's going to be going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you'll be able to see the pond that he's talking about bringing up here, the pool, and the kids will be able to fish in there and even eat what they catch, which I think is just fantastic. Dave, here's my question as somebody who's certainly caught trout over the years. I've even gone up to Glacier National Park and done a little bit of fly fishing up there. How well do your trout adapt to natural environments? I mean, if they're farm raised, can they just be dumped in a river and they'll naturally know what to do to find food and everything?
Water temperature is critical. We can go into a lake. You know, you can do a few hundred pounds per acre. So if you've got a 3-acre lake or so, you can put, 400 or 500 pounds of trout into that, and there'll be enough oxygen exchange on the surface that you can do it. But you're going to need to be in the low 60s, 62, 64. That works pretty good. They say 72 to 74 degrees, and trout, just they're done. It's just too warm. The warmer water doesn't hold enough parts per million of oxygen, and they go. They're cold water fish. So in the wintertime, we can go a little bit farther south with the fish. We went down into some parishes in Louisiana almost all the way to the Gulf. They said we've only got like 4 or 5 weeks that the water's cool enough. And then the biologist calls up and he says, bring them. We're good to go. And then we can shoot down there and stock them. And then they go, okay, we're going to fish. And then they get about a 75-80% catch back. So if you put 1,000 trout into your pond or your stream, you've got a good shot at catching about, most of them back.
Wow.
Streams that are flowing, that works good too. That's excellent. That's what they really love, because that trout move all the time. If they're in a pond, they're going to be swimming all the time. You'll have a school of fish, and they'll be going in a circle, and they'll just swim through that pond because that gets the water going over their gills so they can get the oxygen out of the water. They can't just stay stationary. So that's why they're a stream fish, but they'll work just fine in a pond. So I know here that for the last few years there's been some instances where there would be families at a picnic table all by themselves, and there'd be 4 or 5 of them or 6 of them, and then they'd be fishing. There'd be another picnic table over to the side. There'd be another family fishing. They don't want to get too close to people, but they can go out there and they can fish in the open air and catch the trout, and it's just like, wow, just loving it and having a good time. And, you know, they're help. We feed an expensive feed. It's like a dollar a pound for this feed, but it's awesome. And it's got all the, you know, magical nutrients that you need, all the micronutrients that you need for the growth. And then the flavor of the farm-raised trout. It's wonderful. People work really hard with the farm-raised fish to get the best quality feed. And there's been the feed. When I was young, it was fair. But I've watched that over the years just get to be fantastic. You know, the nutritionists have just been able to balance it out and blend it in. And we get the semis come down our dirt road. At the end of the paved road, turn left are the directions to my house and the trout farm.
Right.
I love that.
We are talking to Dave Emerson. He's the vice president of Crystal Lakes Fisheries Family Trout Farm in Douglas County, Missouri. And, you know, we've gone all this time talking with you, Dave, and you did not know that Mark Cox's nickname is Big Fish from his childhood. And so I want to ask this question. In all of the fish that you guys have raised with your family farm, this passion of your life, have you had any freak things, two-headed fish, albino rainbow trout, anything like any giant fish, you know, freaks of nature, anything like that?
A couple of colors. We had a tiger, some marks that were kind of golden, and it looked like, you know, I said, man, is that like a tiger trout or what in the world is that? No, there is a tiger trout, and it has to be bred a certain, but it had these gold colors. So I was at a fish meeting, and, you know, over a cup of coffee at a fish meeting, you can find out a lot of interesting things. And it's like, hey, really? And this guy goes, he says, yeah, you can breed towards that or away from it. It's a male, isn't it? And I said, yeah, how'd you know that? He said, I've seen it, I've done it. So we bred that so we get golden rainbow trout. So we can mix a few golden in. We keep them separate, but they handle. The birds kind of chase them pretty hard, and the otters will get after them because they're golden, but they're really pretty. And if you have one or two in a school of 50 trout going around, you can see those in the river. Yeah. I've had guides come up to me and say, my customers wanted to try to catch that golden trout, and they caught 15 trout while they were trying to catch that golden.
That's like Willy Wonka's golden ticket deal, man.
So those we can get babies out of. Now, there's a blue trout, and it doesn't reproduce, but we'll get, you know, and we'll hatch out. It takes about 2 million eggs to get 1 million trout, and we'll do a little over 1 million fish a year. So, but in about every 100,000 fish, there'll be one little bitty, you know, 7/8 of an inch long blue trout, and then we'll just kind of watch them and let them go. And, you know, we'll only have 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 of them on the farm, you know. But that blue trout, every once in a while you get to see it. We still haven't really ever figured out where the blue trout comes from.
Where it comes from, wow.
And but they don't have any babies, and you just see one once in a while. So that would be the coolest thing that we see. But the thing that we can actually market and use is the golden rainbow trout. But you only just want a few of those.
You've told us things I never knew about trout today. That's fantastic. Dave Emerson, listen, thank you for your time. Thanks for what you do. And I'm sure you're going to see a lot of our listeners up at the Two Rivers Family Fishing Fair, Saturday, June 10th, 10 to 4 at Pere Marquette State Park near Grafton. Thank you, Dave.
Super, gentlemen.
Yep, we'll talk. We'll talk again. Great getting him on here. That's fantastic.
That's cool. I mean, could you imagine your whole life around that? What if you had a kid and they didn't want to come up in the business? It's like no. You don't have a choice.
Well, I'm sure, it's probably profitable. I mean, just think how many people around the country need to get their lakes stocked and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
it's flawless. Awesome. Fun.
Good
and
stuff.
Such
man.
Good eating too. To a trout. Oh, yeah. Mm. Even the big fish knows which fish are good to eat there. See, Bo?
All righty. You done?
I'm done.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Share the show with anybody that you think will enjoy Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.